Welcome into Other People's Shoes. I'm your host, Neil, and today we again take a turn down that youth road of asking our youth, former youth that is, why they've left the church or why they've continued to stay. And today we get the privilege of sitting down with our first lady of our group, former group, and her name is Jordan. And Jordan tells why she stayed, why she continued to go even to this day, and why she is encouraging her three girls to go. So this is a really exciting episode for me on a lot of different levels. Hope you'll enjoy it. And here we go.
Hey, come take a walk with me. Not like you used to do. Do something different and put yourself in other people's shoes. Open up your mind and open up your eyes and change your direction. Change your perspective.
Welcome into Other People's Shoes. I'm your host, Neil. And finally, the wait is over. The very first girl youth that gets to be on the show. So I'd like you to welcome in a longtime youthie, if you will. I first remember interacting with her, I think, when she was in middle school. She is no longer in middle school. In fact, now I think she has a middle schooler, which is still, for me, even hard to believe and understand. But, you know, time, in fact, does march on. So help me welcome in Jordan. Jordan, how are you?
Great.
So I was driving over today, and I was telling my daughter, because she is also in middle school, who is also 11, I think, in much like your oldest daughter's, right around 12, the same age, 12. Yeah, okay. And I said, do you remember that story? I was telling my daughter, I said, do you remember that story that I talk about a lot of throwing up on a ride at Great America? And she goes, yeah, it's one of my favorite stories, Dad. So I want to tell that story first, and then we'll get into this. But first, I have to get this out of the way because this is a new thing I'm starting. So what size shoes do you wear?
8.5.
8.5. What is your favorite pairs of shoes to wear?
Like type?
Yeah, type, or maybe you have a brand, or maybe a style, or whatever.
Yeah, flats and flip-flops. I can live in those all year.
Yeah, okay. So the reason why I say that is because the point of my podcast is we're actually walking in your shoes. So I just want to maybe visually see we're walking in, again, at an 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
And we're basically having flip-flops on, right? Because that's your preferred footwear of choice.
It is.
All right, fair enough. So now let's talk about the story. So Jordan, do you remember this? We were on this ride at Great America.
It's called
the Flying Eagle, yeah. Right? And you're sitting next to me, and there's this little like lever thing, toggle rudder thing, and you're kind of whacking it back and forth, and basically it would make the cart in a sense go up and down or sideways or whatever. And I said, if you keep doing that, Jordan, I'm gonna get sick. And I don't think you believed me. By the way, we're in Jordan's house, so you'll hear some kids in the background, but they're not dying. They're fine. They're okay. They're being overseen by older sister, so it'll be all right. But anyway, so we end up getting off the ride. I get off the ride, and I calmly, coolly walk over, and I throw up. And forever I have lived with the fact that I've probably scarred children for life in the Flying Eagle ride.
It was a kiddie ride for sure.
It was. And in fact, my family and I went to, it's now not Great America anymore. It has a different name, but I tried to ride that ride again and I couldn't. So Jordan, thanks for giving me some moments today. I appreciate it. I know you're a mom of three and you got a husband. So really you're a mom of four, let's be honest. but I do appreciate you giving me some moments. So we'll get started with this one. Do you remember the first time coming to church or youth group or anything like that? And how old were you?
I grew up in church. So the first time would have been like, I don't know, maybe 5 years old. So I don't have a lot of memory of that. But I started youth group right when I got into junior high. So
would you consider yourself by all intents and purposes a church kid?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I remember you growing up, like I said, now your mom was pretty active in your life. And did your mom ever make you go to church? Was it ever a mandate like, Jordan, you're going to go or else? Or was there anything like that?
No, she never had to make me. I willingly went from what I remember.
Okay. Even as you grew into, you know, high school and or even middle school and then into high school, there was never a Jordan, you have to go or else.
No, that's when I wanted to go, if anything.
That's when you wanted to go, if anything. Cool. All right. So so how old are you now, if you don't mind sharing?
31.
31. Okay. That's awesome. So just to give us perspective, that obviously some time has passed, right? So was there something when you look back then, if you can, try to think back to those, you know, middle school, high school days in youth group. Is there anything you learned back then that you're still using today?
You mean during?
Yeah, during that time. You
like
know?
During youth group or just in?
Yeah, during those youth group days. We'll say specifically those youth group days.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know how to answer that. I don't know specifically how to answer that.
That's okay. I mean, I didn't know if there was like maybe a life lesson or if there was some kind of, you know, principle or anything like that that you really maybe kind of, you know, like I said, heard back then that maybe you're using still.
I probably didn't think about it back then. I think about it now when I think about my youth group years and, you know, as a preteen and teen girl, you know, liking to get attention. So saying things, doing things that are kind of, when you think about it now, kind of stupid and embarrassing. And back then I thought was just awesome and was really going to get me somewhere. So I don't know.
Okay.
Nothing really specific.
Okay. All right. I'm not necessarily looking for anything. Cause again, this is your perspective and this is your, you know, journey, not mine. So, okay. So, did you ever really feel like you made a decision for Jesus, like accepting him as your savior? And if you did, in those days, what did that look like? What did that event look like? What were the kind of circumstances around that?
You know, it's really interesting because as a youth, I definitely believed in Jesus. I wanted the whole concept of being a, you know, quote, Christian, and I was really good, really strong morally, and that carried me through high school, youth group, and everything. I remember, you know, I had some friends that were non-believers, and they would make comments, you know, like the burn the cross, we need firewood type of comments and stuff just to try to be funny, and I would always put a stop to it. I would always, you know, I was never embarrassed to make reference of my belief in Jesus, but I was still a teenage girl. It still wasn't really cool. It was a little different at youth group because we all were there and assuming we were all there for the same reason. So I was always really good morally and standing up for my belief, but walking all the time through high school at home, it didn't quite look like an ideal Jesus follower, I guess, until I got older.
So you're 31 now. What would you say to the 16-year-old Jordan now? Like, I mean, you're going to have a 16-year-old soon enough. So think back. What would you tell that 16-year-old Jordan?
You know, probably what I tell my daughter now. We have comments. She's homeschooled, but she does do some classes through a charter school here in town. And she has the same struggles that I went through. She has drama with her friends, and she has, you know, things that go on that make her angry and whatever. And I have always told her that, you know, Olivia, at the end of this life, none of this is going to matter. Who you were friends with and what they did to you, what you did to them, you know, none of it's going to matter. What's going to matter is, was your life, you know, I'm trying to think of the word, but was your life reflecting Jesus? Were you Jesus to other people? Did you give grace? Did you love the way he loved us? And, you know, so none of this is going to matter. Just, it doesn't matter. And I tell her that all the time. And that's kind of, you know, how I think of it.
Is that kind of what you would tell the 16-year-old Jordan?
I would. Just not to worry about any of that and just to keep your mind on him.
Okay.
Sounds vague, but
no, that's okay. So, do you remember that exact moment when you feel like Jesus really, you really took hold of that and really made that your faith choice?
I don't remember a specific time. I just remember as I got older and as I, you know, just kind of grew as a person, I just kind of had to figure out which way I wanted to go. I was a mom pretty young. I got married young. And so my life wasn't the same as other people. Definitely not the same as a lot of my other youth friends. I did things a little different than them. And so I just kind of, in a sense, grew up a little extra quick and just had to make a decision about where I wanted my life to go.
Okay. So in that same respect, you know, youth group, a number of youth have said, well, it was fun, it was exciting, we did cool stuff, but for you personally, what kept you coming to youth group back in those, you know, middle school and then high school days? What really continued to fuel that fire for you?
I've thought about it a few years back. I was actually thinking about that, and there were a lot of different reasons. It was fun. It was something to do. I didn't have a ton of friends, not in high school. I was pretty selective with my friends, and most of them went to youth group anyways because I either invited them or I met them there. A big reason I came back was, for one, I went to the church, and for two, I grew up with a single mom. I didn't really have, besides her, I didn't really have a male presence in my, or she's not male, but you know, I didn't have a male presence in my life, and I had youth leaders that were males, and I grew fairly attached to them, and that was a big deal for me, being so close to my youth leaders and then my friends.
Great. What do you think keeps kids from coming to youth group, or even nowadays, what do you think keeps kids from coming and being involved in a youth program, in your opinion?
That's really tough, because I think, you know, back in my day, which wasn't that long ago, so it's weird to say, but
it's even weirder to hear. Let me just say that. Go on. Sorry. Forgive me.
I invited friends. It's like I asked my daughter to like invite somebody to church, and it's just like the end of the world. Like, that involves talking to them, or that involves, you know, asking them to come to church. And it's just, it's such a foreign concept to ask anybody to go. And so kids are not really inviting other kids, whether that's from embarrassment or what, I don't really know. I think a lot of times why maybe kids don't stay is because it's not cool. I don't know, whatever the newest word is. It's not cool to go to youth group. I don't know. It's embarrassing maybe, or weird. Weird kids do it. I don't really know.
I got to say, every time you say embarrassing, I think of you as a 16, 15 something year old. Oh, that's embarrassing.
I'm
you
not
can't
much
do
different.
That. That's embarrassing. That was Jordan's catchphrase. Just a little inside.
Okay,
into
I'm
that.
Embarrassed for you.
Okay,
is what
thank you.
A lot.
That's awesome. Okay, so going back into you again, do you think the youth group / church failed you personally in any way?
I don't think that it failed me. I think in youth group, you know, the youth leaders in particular did the best that they could for where they were at in life and in the church themselves. And I absolutely think the church is failing youth. That's no doubt in my mind. Me specifically, and my youth group specifically, I do not think failed me, but you know, there's a certain age that kids need to be reached before it's just almost too late. And that age is being surpassed. And, you know, it's church isn't super relevant for youth. It's not made to be relevant. It's a lot of churches are kind of like nursing homes for Christians. They're kind of maintaining them and not equipping them. And, you know, kids don't want that.
I've never heard that term before, nursing homes for Christians. What do you mean by that specifically? I really have never heard that, so this is new to me.
You know, the point of a nursing home is to kind of, I don't know, sustain people and keep them alive as long as possible and just kind of give the same stuff daily. You know, they have their breakfast and they have their walk and they have their puzzle and their bingo and they go to sleep. And a lot of churches, I think, maybe unintentionally, but operate that way. They're not, you know, attempting to go out and, or they're not equipping their people, and then they're not going out to reach people, which is, you know, kind of one of our endeavors as, you know, Christians or Jesus followers. So
if I'm understanding you correctly, you feel like the church as a whole is failing youth, but you feel the youth leaders didn't fail you.
I don't feel like my youth leaders failed me. No, I had issues with them here and there, but fail me? No.
Okay. And then that was going to lead into my next question is so, and maybe you're answering this with a yes. So did you feel like your youth leaders failed you in any way?
No, okay. I think they did fine.
Okay. All right. And you can call out names. It's okay. We had Chad and Leslie on in a previous episode, so you can call them out as the bad youth leaders, right?
They're some of my best friends right now, so no, I will not do that.
No, I'm teasing. They're great people, and in my mind, they were very instrumental in a lot of what what was done in your youth days. So, looking back, what is the greatest memory you have? And then, of course, on the other side of the coin with that, what do you think is your least favorite memory, again, during that youth kind of adolescent years?
Oh, my goodness. Least. I got in trouble a lot, so I don't know that it was, like, anything specific. I didn't love getting in trouble. It was mostly by you I got in trouble.
Oh, by me?
Yeah, pretty much. You were the one that kind of was, like, sick on people, but... Yeah, I don't know if I
do remember a summer camp. You had to go a week without makeup. Is that what you're referring
to?
That's
one of them.
Even?
Yeah,
that's
for sure. Okay. I didn't enjoy that. Yeah. I don't know if I have a specific thing. I think that back then I made sometimes a bigger deal out of things than they probably were. And then I got upset when I was called out on it. And so I didn't enjoy that.
Accountability sucks.
It does. And youth don't have a whole grasp on what accountability means to them. It's because youth are entitled. So it's kind of like a, you know, and that's probably one of the main reasons why they don't like to stay in church or come to youth group, because ain't got no time for accountability. But
Hashtag no accountability.
That's right. And favorite, I don't know. There was a lot of really good ones. I enjoyed almost everything we did except for the game Trash Can, of course, and Happy Shakes. But
I told Chad and Leslie, we're going to play a game too at the end just to give you a little heads up of what's going to happen. But Chad goes, are we going to play Trash Can? And I said, no, Chad. No,
yeah, that was awful. I just wouldn't participate.
Okay, that's great. So as long as Happy Shake and Trash Can aren't involved, you had great memories. Great memories in youth group. That's awesome.
I did.
So, again, talk about your kids, because I know as a mom, you obviously love to talk about your kids. I'm sure most moms do, and even dads. What will you tell your, and it sounds like you kind of already are, but what are you going to continue to tell your kids about church and youth group and why it's important to be involved or why it's not important to be involved?
I tell my kids now, they're different ages and they have different things going on. So, you know, they have different perspectives on going to church and liking it and stuff. But like I kind of said earlier, that this is our life's reason, or the reason for life, not going to church, but learning, growing in faith, studying scripture, just knowing it, knowing and being, what's the word? I don't know if it's confident, but just in your ability to share Christ with others. And church is a part of that for me. I do not believe that you have to go to church to be a Jesus follower or share with other people. But I do believe that there is some definite biblical truth to, you know, like I said, learning and growing and studying in scripture and being around other people that share those same values and faith as you. And I don't really know. I haven't had to go there yet with my kids so much. Olivia's a little bit, because she really wants to be around more youth and our church isn't there yet. So that's been a little difficult, but I don't know.
So going back to this again, and I don't know if you remember this or not, and maybe you do or not. Again, I don't know what your memory is in comparison to mine, but how much discipleship do you think really occurred during those formative years, those high school years when you were in youth group? And maybe talk about what that looked like.
Discipleship? I don't know that I really remember a lot about that. I do remember that one of our youth group, what do you call them, like logos or whatever, was rescue. And I think it was reaching every soul, like Christian's ultimate endeavor.
Yeah, okay. Good job. Goody. Wow.
And
that was pretty good, Jordan. That was a way back machine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Well, on that, so that kind of, you know, insinuates discipleship. I don't, and I just maybe don't have a great memory as well, but I don't remember a ton of that. I do remember we were encouraged to bring friends and whatever, but I don't remember specifically being equipped for discipleship in youth group.
Okay.
Personally.
That's okay. Yeah. So I don't know if you know anything. Do you know anything about the Barna Group? Are you familiar with them at all?
No.
Okay. So the Barna Group is a Christian research group. They do a ton of research on churches, Christian faith, things like that. So they've done a 5-year study on why kids leave the church. And that's kind of the reason why we're talking is because, again, you're a former youth. I know you haven't left the church. I mean, from all indications, it sounds like you, even though you made some choices that normal, and not that you're not normal, but most people, maybe when they made the choices that they made, you know, you admitted, you know, getting pregnant young, getting married, you know, those are choices that would probably cause someone to leave a church rather than continue to stay at a church. But you stayed, you kind of embraced your faith and embraced it. Yeah, you know, I made a mistake, big deal. Okay. Not, I mean, whatever, but moved on. Right. And so this Barna Group, they did a study, a 5-year study, as I mentioned, and they gave 6 reasons why people leave. So I want to go over those with you, see if you agree with them or not. You know, it's up to you. But there's 6 reasons. So the first reason they say people leave is church seems overprotective. Do you agree with that or disagree?
Overprotective, like rules? I don't understand.
Yeah, they just feel like they've studied people out, and they've said that young people today feel like church seems very overprotective. So yeah, maybe there's rules involved, maybe kind of a helicopter syndrome, maybe there's that accountability thing that we were talking about, but it just seems very overprotective.
Strict, I would say. I don't know if I'd use that word overprotective. It doesn't, in my opinion, doesn't fit very well. But I would say if strict goes along with that, then yeah, I would agree.
And you and I grew up in the same church.
Right.
You know, I went to junior high and high school through the
church. A different era than me, but
different
yes.
era. Yeah, much different era than you, but yes. But we did grow up kind of coming out of that same church, and again, that's why we're talking. So reason number two, teens and 20 somethings experience of Christianity is shallow.
Yes, definitely.
You agree with that?
Oh yeah.
So why do you think people think of Christianity as being very shallow in their faith? Do you kind of have an idea on that?
Well, I think that teens and young adults oftentimes will be cultural Christians, and they will identify as Christian because that's their family's identity. And so even into your 20s, I think that you kind of like, oh yeah, I'm, you know, because that's how you grew up and that's what you are. So having the maturity to make your own decision that you're going to follow Jesus regardless of what your family did or that you're not going to, I think is, you know,
I really love what you said there, especially with that identifying, because that's such a catchword now in our society of, oh, I identify as this or I identify as that. So I love how you put that. That was very well put. Reason number three, churches come across as antagonistic to science.
Yeah. I mean, I think that takes specific people to believe that. But yeah, I definitely think that that's a thing.
Yeah, that it kind of stops people from coming because they feel like if you're a Christian, you can't obviously subscribe to science or anything like
that.
Yeah,
it contradicts each other or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. So young people's church experience related to sexuality is often simplistic and judgmental.
Yes, I think it can definitely come across that to people. So.
Okay. All right. Reason number five. Wrestling with the exclusive nature of Christianity. Now, the verse I've been quoting is Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Seems pretty exclusive. I mean, that sounds like a very exclusive statement. So with this, people are still wrestling with the fact that Christianity is the only way. What do you think of that?
I mean, I agree with that, and I I don't know. So I'm sorry, what are you asking specifically in
that
question?
Sorry. So basically what they're trying to say is that some people are still wrestling with the fact that it's so exclusive, right? That that there's got to be another way, that there isn't just one way, that Christianity can't be the only way, or Jesus can't be the only way. So it's so exclusive, like kind of like Costco. I'm sure you're a Costco member, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone loves Costco.
Everyone's a Costco member.
I actually get hives when I go to Costco. That's another story. But my point is that with Costco, it's exclusive. Like, you got to have a membership. You can't just roll up into Costco and be like, hey, I'm going to buy, you know, a 85-gallon drum of mayonnaise. You know? You got to show that card. You got to, you know, so it's very exclusive from that standpoint. So I think the reason that they're discovering is people are leaving is because they can't handle that it's so exclusive. Everyone should be welcome in. You shouldn't have to have a membership card.
And I think that a lot of people think that. I think that if people thought more of the fact that Jesus isn't exclusive, that maybe, you know, they think church is, but Jesus isn't exclusive. Regardless of, you know, what you say or do, everyone has already been paid for, right? And so it's not exclusive. I just think that people probably look at it that way.
That it makes it feel exclusive.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Church feels unfriendly to those who doubt. So in other words, if someone was struggling, let's say your daughter, any of your daughters were struggling with doubt, would they feel unfriendly to the fact that they're struggling with this doubt? Or do you feel like that there would be people around that could kind of help support them and kind of help them walk through that doubt? Because again, they're saying this is one of the main reasons why people leave is because of this doubt aspect.
I think that's true. It's funny because in the church we attend, it's kind of like the opposite. It's like you can almost, you know, like sense or smell people with doubt. And you just, you know, right away, those are the people you're kind of drawn to and want to talk to personally in the church that I attend. But yes, I think as a whole, that's definitely a truth.
Okay. So I asked this of Chad and Leslie, and I just think it's a great question, and so I'm going to ask you, because you are still, you know, faithfully attending, you still, you know, subscribe to the faith and still believe in Jesus, and I know you're still very much connected to a lot of the old youth. In fact, pre-show, you were giving me some more names to kind of maybe go and talk to about this. So let's pretend for a second we're in this, I don't know, grand arena. The arena doesn't necessarily matter where we are, but we're in this grand arena, and every youth that has ever been through, you know, the program that you were a part of is in the audience, okay? So kind of imagine with me. And you're center stage, which I know probably freaks you out already, but we're going to ignore those feelings, okay? And just and think about this. You have an audience with them. What would you say to them right now?
All the old youth that I knew.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
And even the current youth they're all adults now, but yeah. What would you say to them if you had that opportunity?
Man, it's a really diverse group.
It is.
Just thinking about them. So that is just really difficult. I guess I would just have to share, I don't know if I'd share my testimony. Yeah, I probably would. But just my personal experience. I made a choice to continue to going, not only continue going to church, but to decide to not be a cultural Christian and to build my faith on my own and learn how that could change my life. And it did. And I guess I would just say that, you know, we are only given one life. It is nothing in compared to eternity. And this one life is our chance. It's, you know, it's our chance to show others, you know, what it means to be a Jesus follower. My pastor makes a reference or whatever. He tells a little thing, I don't know what you call it, but basically talks about, you know, if someone was offering $1 million and, you know, like, everyone, you know, gather here at this time and you can get $1 million for free or whatever. How many people would gather there? I mean, everybody, everyone who heard about it, I'm sure would go and get their $1 million. But how many people, you know, would go and gather if you said, you know, here's your chance to live an eternity with Jesus and, you know, to be saved through him and to, you know, spend eternity in heaven with him, which is obviously far more important than $1 million. But how many people would run for that? And it's just, you know, I guess I would just share my life and that I've never looked back and I'm not perfect in any way, but I try really hard and I grow every day from it. So I guess that's just what I would say. And then about 20 people would leave and
Jordan, that's so incredible, right? Because for me, and I think even Chad and Leslie and hopefully other leaders that I get an opportunity to sit down with, I'm just being candid. I don't know if I would have known 16-year-old Jordan to say what you just said.
Probably not.
In fact, I'm pretty confident. I don't think 16, even 17-year-old Jordan would have said any of that. And so that, to me, is a testament of where you've come and how far you've come and how you have not allowed poor choices, you know, whatever they may be, to stop you, derail you, you know, cripple you, paralyze you, whatever you want to say. Because you've continued to move forward. Why?
I don't know if I have a specific answer. I just think that it's, you know, we all have choices in life, and I've made some pretty difficult ones, and they're even the ones that I've made to follow Jesus and not, and to end certain friendships and whatever, have been some of the hardest choices I've ever made. The right choices aren't always the easiest choices, but, you know, I feel different when I am walking and following Jesus, and it's a life-changing different. So, I don't know.
Wow. Thank you. So we're going to play a game, a little more lighthearted. I know you. It's not trash can, just for the record.
Good, because I'll fail.
It's not trash can. It's a fun game. So you have to roll a dice, and it's in a North Carolina baby blue cup, so it has to be, right? So there it is. I'm going to let you roll. That's a die, and so we have a little table in front of us here, so just throw it on that. Based on what you roll, that's what you get to answer in, and it's just a fun question, and it's a fun game I like to call Senseless. So here we go. You got number six. You were the only second person to get number six, so that's awesome. All right, number six is this. Dinner with one person, dead or alive. And obviously the obvious answer would be, oh, I want to pick Jesus. Maybe that's the obvious answer. But but outside of Jesus, who do you think it would be?
Oh, goodness. That's really, really difficult.
One person. Sorry.
It would probably be an old friend of mine that passed away when I was in high school. His name was Randy. So that would probably be the one.
I think I know why, but yeah. Do you want to elaborate at all?
He was a friend for a couple years in high school, and he committed suicide my senior year of high school. And, you know, I had a lot of love for him just as a person in general. I've always been left with why. I, you know, have been left with a lot of guilt and wondering what if or what, you know, and what if I had done or said something different, not 100% knowing where he was at with Jesus. So, yeah, that would be the reason.
That was your senior year?
Yeah.
What year was that? Sorry. Just for my memory, too.
It was 2005.
2005.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Well, Jordan, thank you. I want to end our time together with just saying thanks again. You know, I know you have a lot that you're juggling and a lot of kiddos and husband and all that other stuff. I know some of this has probably been kind of maybe difficult to walk through or walk down again. And I thank you for that. And I just want to close with this. You know, life is really about walking in someone else's shoes, right? Because without walking in someone else's shoes, you're never going to gain any perspective.
Right.
Thank you so much, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Thanks.